morning. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Chaf. And tremendous thank you, everybody, for joining us. The last thing we saw was on Daf Yates Amid Beis. The Mishnah had said that a person who has a toda, sorry, not the Mishnah, the Braisa. Raisa says, if somebody has a toda, the yotzei ba mishum simcha, the meat of the toda can enable him to fulfill his obligation of simcha. The Torah says, v'samachta b'chagecha, be happy. Being happy means eating the meat of a karban. So if you have a toda that you're bringing anyway on Sukkot, so you could be happy with your meat of the karban, with the mitzvah of simcha, but the toda would not, eino yotzei ba mishum chagiga. You couldn't fulfill your mitzvah of chagiga with the toda, because ein davar shevachova ba ela min achulin. Something which is an obligation, like a chagiga, can only come from that which is already chulin. It can't come from something which is a different obligation. So once you promise to bring the toda, you have an obligation to bring the toda. So now that's a separate obligation. That can't fulfill your chagiga obligation. That's toda. Chagiga will be separate. It will be the chagiga. So let's start here again in your testament base. V'yotzei ba'im l'shem simcha. With the toda, you can fulfill the simcha, because it is meat of a karban. V'yotzei ba'im l'shem chagiga. And you're not going to be able to use the toda to fulfill your obligation of shalmei chagiga. Of course, davar shebechova hu, chagiga is an obligation. Any obligation only comes from something which is secular. You can't use money of Maaser Sheni or something which was anyway promised, a neder and a dava, to fulfill your obligation of chagiga. My answer is, L'tzvicha da'afagav deparish. The Chiddush of this Braisa is that when he made a neder to give his toda, he said that he was going to do it in order to fulfill chagiga. When he first made this animal holy as a toda, he tried to set it up that it would be holy as a toda and it would be brought to fulfill the chagiga obligation. That was Kedavai Minei Reb Shimon Lakish Reb Yochanan. You know, Reish Lakish had asked this as a question to Reb Yochanan. Omer Eli Toda. Somebody says, on me is incumbent an obligation to bring a Toda. The Eitzei Ba Yedei Chagiga. Through my Toda, I also fulfill my Chagiga. It's on me. Very good. Says, as he says, once he says, on me there's a Toda, it's already done. So once it's already done, that's it. It's a Toda now. Now he can't say, oh, it's going to be a chagiga. It's a toda. That's it. It was a toda. Now it's done. So if he says, on me, there's incumbent to bring a toda, and I will, through the toda, fulfill chagiga. Or he says, Areni nazir. On me is an incumbent to be a nazir. But ve'galeach mimos maaser sheni. When I shave off my hair to complete the nazirus, and I have to bring karbanos then, so those karbanos are going to come from maaser sheni monies. Nah, what's the halacha? And Rabbi Yochanan answered him, Amarle, said, sorry. Now starting Chaf Amud Aleph, he said, Nadur, the person has a vow to bring a toda, Veino Yotze, he doesn't fulfill with this vow, Chagiga. Nazir, he said he's a Nazir, he's now a Nazir, Veino Megaleach, he doesn't shave off his hair and pay for those karbanos with Maaser Sheni monies, because that's a chova, and he davar shebechova by elam and achulin. Obligations are only brought from chulin, they're not brought from other types of obligations. I can't fulfill my nazir obligation with my sersheni monies. My sersheni monies is an obligation of my sersheni. I can't use it for nazir. Ha'ugavra, there was a story, a similar story, talking about saying two things. Ha'ugavra, there was a man who was dying. And we learned in the Sechet Baba Basra, the words of a dying man are as if they were already in a document written and sealed. It's a full gemiras das, full commitment, and a full transfer. So who got, who was the man? Damar Luhu, he told his people around his bed, Havu le arba meya zuzi liploni. Okay, out of my possessions, give 400 zuz to so-and-so. And this guy now is going to be my son-in-law, Linsav Brati, and he should marry my daughter. So Rav Papa said, Arba meya shakil. The guy can take the 400 zuz. That's what the fellow said first. And then he can decide if he wants to marry the daughter or not. Because apparently, if the donor would have said, this man is to marry my daughter and then get the 400 zuz, then he'd have to first become son-in-law and then be able to get the 400 zuz. But since he said he should take 400 zuz and marry my daughter, so the first thing first, he gets 400 zuz. Okay, now he had the 400 zuz. It's already up to him whether or not he wants to marry the daughter. The reason is, the Amar, he said, Havule, give to him, and then Valinsev, and then marry. Avul Yamar Linsev, Havule, but had he said, let him marry and then give to him, then Inasiv Shakil, first if he would have married, he would have taken. The Lo Nasiv, if he wouldn't marry, Lo Shakil, he wouldn't be entitled to the coins. Yazam Ramer Vagamalo Shmaitim Shmaitin Avshe. Ramer was sitting and saying over this idea on his own, that if a guy says, I'm going to harelai toda, I'm going to bring a toda. And then he says, after that, the eitzei ba, and with it I'll fulfill my obligation of chagiga. He can't fulfill his obligation of chagiga with it. Amar Ravina l'Rameimar. Ravina said to Rameimar, atu nachim asnisula. This is the way you taught it. Anan, but we, kidabai minei rishlakish merab yochlam asnisula. But we learned it not as just, okay, a law. We learned it as it was a discussion. Rishlakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. If a person in his very initial vow is seemingly setting it up in a way for the obligatory matter to fulfill some other obligation, what's the law? And he said back to him, the law is, sorry, it doesn't matter, even if it was initially trying to set it up that way, since he first said, I am a Nazir, when he first said, on me there's incumbent to bring a toda, that's a separate obligation. That toda obligation cannot also fulfill the chagiga obligation. If he says, I'm a Nazir, that's an obligation. And now that there's that obligation, he can't try to discharge it through using money of Maaser Sheni, which has its own obligation. He can't use one obligation to fulfill another obligation. Okay. Tani Tana Kamei Derev Yitzchak Bar Abba. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. All right, let's go look at the Mishnah again. In the Mishnah we had, on Yud Testament Aleph, Beishamai Omen Mevi'in Shlomo Ve'in Somchen Aleihem Avalo Olos. So we have two arguments in the Mishnah. Number one, we know that every Yom Tov, each Jewish male has to bring two karbanos. He has to bring Shalmei Chagiga, the Chagosim Oso Chag LaHashem. He has to bring a Shlamim, a Karban Shlam, which is a Chagiga. In addition to the Shalmei Chagiga, he has to bring an Olas Ru'iyam. Each person has to bring also a Karban Ola. So, the Karban Ola gets burned in its entirety on the Mizbeach. So one idea of Beit Shammai is that as an individual bringing my own Karban Ola Sri'iyah, I can't bring it on Yom Tov. That would be a desecration of Yom Tov for the Kohen to slaughter an animal in order to bring the animal as an Ola. Now, the Karban does bring certain Olos. He brings the Karban Tamid, he brings the Karbanos Musaf, but those are communal Karbanos. But when it comes to an individual's karban and olas ri'iyah, even though it's a Yom Tov obligation, Beit Shammai say you don't bring it on Yom Tov, bring it on Chol HaMoed. And when you have a Yom Tov like Shavuos, where you don't have Chol HaMoed, you bring it during what's called the week of makeup, the Yom Hanef, the day after Shavuos. So that's one point. Beit Shammai holds you do not have the ability to bring an olas ri'iyah on Yom Tov. Now, a separate argument is that Beit Shammai holds even what you can bring on Yom Tov, the Shalmei Chagiga, because that you can eat, so since you can eat, it's considered lachem. Ach asher yasa lachem. The Torah says, what have we done for you? So what you can eat, that's for you. You can bring the Shalmei Chagiga. Beit Shammai holds you cannot lean on the Chagiga on Yom Tov. You have to lean on the Chagiga before Yom Tov. Now, Beis Hillel disagrees on both points. Beis Hillel holds, even though there is an Issur Drabbana not to lean on animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you're allowed to bring the Chagiga, you can lean on it too. And in fact, this holds not only can you bring a chagiga on Yom Tov, you can even bring an ola. The ola is also included because of the word Lashem. So the ola also can be brought on Yom Tov. So two arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now the truth is, we're going to see in the Gemara now that there are multiple ways of how to understand the view of Beit Shammai. The fact that Beit Shammai say you can't lean on the Shalmei Chagiga, you could understand it as they basically don't hold that you have to lean on Shalmei Chagiga. So since it's not really required to lean on the Shalmei Chagiga, so then why should you be violating Yom Tov? Even though it's Nisad Rabbanan, but why shouldn't you do the Nisad Rabbanan on Yom Tov? Rabbanan said not to do it, and the Torah never says you have to do it, so then you can't do it. That could be one way to understand what Beit Shammai are saying. Or there's another way to understand what Beit Shammai are saying, and that is that maybe, according to Beit Shammai, you have an obligation to lean on the Shalmei Chagiga, but they don't hold that the leaning has to happen right next to the Shechita. The leaning can happen before. They say, well, if the leaning could happen before, then do it before. Why should you violate Yom Tov? You can do it before. We've seen that in many areas of Yom Tov. You can do something before, so do it before. So that's what they say, you don't lean on Yom Tov. We'll see, these are two different possibilities. So again, let's start with the Gemara here at the two dots. Please, Izzy. Yeah, but that's also somewhat... It is Chovat HaRegel. It's Chovat HaRegel. It's an obligation of the holiday. Yeah. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba. There was an expert in Brisos who taught a Brita in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba. The Pasuk says about the Miluin. We know that there were 7 days, the 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where Aaron and his sons were being inaugurated. Then you had Vayi Bayom HaShmini on the 8th day, finally Aaron gets invested with the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol. So the Pasuk says there, when Aaron's bringing his Karban, Vayakreves HaOla, he brought the Ola that he was obligated to bring, the Ayil LaOla, the ram, Vayaseha, and he performed it, Kamishpat, as the law, he did it like the law. But like what law? The Torah didn't specify really how to do the olas miluim, how to do the olas chova. So it must mean kemishpat olas nedava. He did it like the law of the donated ola. In Parshas Vayikra, the Torah begins by telling us, Adam ki akriv mikem, karban la'ashem, im ola karbano, zachar tamim yakrivenu. The Torah says, if a person's going to bring a karban ola, he has to bring a male, he has to burn all of the, every part of it, the fat, the meat, all of it gets burnt on the Mizbeach, all of it is Muktar. So there the Torah mentions, V'samach Yado, he has to lean on it. So it says about the Olas Nedava, about a donated Ola, about a voluntary Ola, it says there should be leaning. So now here about the Isle of Miluim, since it says Vayakrevis Ola Vayaseh Kamishpat, he brought the Ola and he did it as its law. It means, like the law of the Olas Nedava, Lime, this is the source that Olas Chova, that an obligatory Ola to Una Smicha, also needs leaning. Right, that's the Brisa. So the Brisa says, I need a Pasuk, Vayaseh Kamishpat. The Pasuk is to tell me the extra words, Vayaseh Kamishpat, is that an Olas Chova requires smicha. So Amale, so he said to him, Dam lecha mani, who taught you this braisa? Sorry, who taught you this braisa? Who is the author of this braisa? Beis Shammai, it's a braisa that's only following Beis Shammai. So lo gar mishalmei chova, mishalmei nedava. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba tells this author of this expert in Brisos, the Brisa that you're telling me, the Brisa that you're quoting to me, that's the view of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai do not derive obligatory shlamim, shalmei chagiga, from donated shlamim, from voluntary shlamim. So therefore they hold that shalmei chagiga don't need smicha. Even though the Torah says about the shalmei nedava, the donated shlamim, that they need smicha, shalmei chagiga don't need smicha, and therefore, since they don't need smicha, leaning on them would not happen on Yom Tov. The Beis Hillel, but according to Beis Hillel, came in the Gamish Shalmei Chov Mishav Nedava. Beis Hillel said that you do lean on your Chagiga on Yom Tov. Why? Because apparently there's an obligation to lean How do they know there's an obligation to lean? They must be learning Shalmei Chova from Shalmei Nedava. Since the Torah says about Nedava Shlam to lean on them, Chova, the obligatory Shlam, also you have to lean on them. So if they learn Shalmei Chova from Shalmei Nedava, Olas Chova Nami. So then in regards to an obligatory Ola, Lo Tiboikra, I don't need to have a Pasuk of Kamishba to teach me that it needs Smicha. They would just learn it from Olas Nedava. The fact that the Torah says in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, Adam ki akiv mikem karban la'Hashem, v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola. Torah says he has to do smicha. That's true about a donated ola. So that would see the same is true about an obligatory ola. Says the Gemara, mimayde beisil sham michov misham nedava gamri. Who's to say that beisil alu say that you need to do smicha on the chagiga, on the shlam mature obligations, are learning it from the fact that there is smicha and shlam, which are donations. Maybe Bissell also only derive obligation from obligation. They derive from the obligatory ola that needed a smicha, so therefore the obligatory shlam also needs a smicha. Now, that obligatory ola needs a smicha, that it needs leaning, that we need the pasuk of Kamishpa to teach me. So Gemara says, nope, you can't say that. Why would you propose that you don't derive from donated shlamim? Shekein mitzuyin. Because you can say donated shlamim is something which is more prevalent than obligatory shlamim. Donated shlamim can happen all the time. Somebody can say, I'm donating a shlamim. Obligatory shlamim is on Yom Tov. You have Shalmei Chagiga, it's only on Yom Tov, it's not all the time. It's not all, so something which is all the time, maybe needs smicha, it's more special, it's more prominent. Something which is rarer doesn't need smicha. However, if you're using those types of logical arguments, then me'olas chavva nami lo gamri, maybe Sila wouldn't learn from an obligatory ola to an obligatory shlamim. As you'll say, Shekein Kalu, an obligatory Ola is more special because it's burnt in its entirety to Hashem. Whereas the obligatory Shlamim is eaten. It's not burnt in its entirety to Hashem. So therefore, you couldn't learn one from the next. So it must be that Asya Mi Beinaya, that Beis Hillel are deriving it from both of them. They're learning from both Ola Schova and from Shalmei Nedava. Saying from Ola Schova, if you're going to say the same way Ola Schova needs smicha, so to a Shalmei Chova needs smicha the same way the obligatory Ola needs leaning, so to the obligatory Shlamim, the Chagiga needs leaning. So you might say, oh, but maybe not. Maybe the Ola needs leaning because it's fully burned. Shalmei Chagiga are not fully burned. It shouldn't need leaning. Oh, but Shalmei Nedava needs leaning, even though it's not fully burned. You say, yeah, but Shalmei Nedava is happening all the time. Yeah, but Ola Schova is not happening all the time, and Ola Schova needs leaning. So you see that the issue of happening all the time is not why it needs leaning, because Ola Schova needs leaning, even though it's not happening all the time. And Ola Schova, you don't always have an obligation of Ola. It's also rare. It's Yom Tov, Shabbos, Karpin Tamid. It's not all the time. But they both need leaning. So if they both need leaning, therefore Chagiga would need leaning. So bottom line is, Chagiga is derived from both sources. Ask the Gemara. The Sabri Beit Shammai, is this the right way to understand it? According to Beit Shammai, Shalmei Chova lo ba'i smicha, obligatory shlamim don't need leaning, and that's why they say that you can't lean on the Chagiga on Yom Tov. Iva Tanabu and Abrais, a different explanation. Amr Rabbi Yossi said, lo nechlu Beit Shammai Beis Hillel ala smicha atzma shetzarech. The argument between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel is not about whether or not there is a need for leaning. Everybody agrees you have to lean on a chagiga. Everybody's saying you don't have to lean on a chagiga. Everybody agrees you have to lean on a chagiga. Everybody would agree, and everybody basically is going to learn Shalmei Chagiga from Shalmei Nedava. Maybe together with, yeah, everybody's going to learn from Shalmei Chagiga from Shalmei Nedava together with Ola Schova, and say those things need leaning, so Shalmei Chagiga need leaning. Amanechleku, what's the argument? The question is a different question. Granted, you need to do the leaning, but does the leaning have to happen right next to the shechita? Beishami, you don't need to lean right next to shechita. So therefore, you could lean before. So you have to lean before, so as not to violate Yom Tov. But Beisil said you need to lean right next to the shechita.
Why would leaning at all violate Yom Tov?
What's using an animal? It's like riding an animal, sitting on an animal. The sages prohibited leaning on animals, using animals. Says the Gemara, Hu damar ki hai tana. He was saying like the following tana. The tana didn't arise. Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo nechlefu b'shamim b'sil al-tekef l'smicha shchita shel tzarech. B'shamim and b'sil are not arguing about the fact that when you need a lean, the leaning should be right next to the shchita. Alma nechlefu ala smicha atzma. The question is whether or not you need a lean on a chagiga. B'shamim said there is no obligation to lean on a chagiga because we don't learn the davar from Chova. B'shamim say you do need to lean. So that's two different ways to understand the argument. There's one way to understand it. Beit Shammai holds you don't really need to lean on a chagiga. Since you don't need to lean on the chagiga, you can't do it on Yom Tov. So you do need to lean on the chagiga. The way to understand the argument is that everybody gives you need to lean on the chagiga. We learn chagiga from Shammai Nedzav and from Olas Chova. But Beit Shammai holds you can lean separate, you know, a day apart from the shchita. If you say you can't lean on Yom Tov, and Beit Shammai hold you have to lean right next to the shchita. Therefore, they hold you have to do it on Yom Tov. Yeah, question is he? No. Okay, great, wonderful. At the two dots now on the bottom of Chaf and Aleph. Tanur Rabbanan, our sages told us in a braita, a story. Maisa b'Hillel HaZaken, there was a story with Hillel. Hillel himself. Shehevius Olas Ola Azara. Number one, it was Yom Tov. He came to the Azara with his Olas Re'ia against Beit Shammai. Hold it, an Ola can't be brought on Yom Tov. And number two, Lismo Chalea B'Yom Tov. And he was planning to lean on it. The second thing against Beit Shammai. Hebrew of Talmidei Shammai Azakein. So the students of Shammai the elder all joined up with him. Amalei said to him, "Mati v'shul behemazu, what's going on with this animal? What are you doing? Bringing an animal in here? It's Yom Tov. You can't be bringing animals in." So Amaleihem. So this Rashi says shows us the humility of Hillel. Even though he had an opinion that held you're allowed to bring an Ola Sriya, right? An Ola has to always be a Zach, has to be a male. But this animal is a male animal. He said, no, it's a female animal. He said, it's a female animal so that they should think it's a chagiga. Now, they agree you can bring a shalmei chagiga on Yom Tov. He said, it was a shlamin. I'm going to have the kevahi. It's a female. Ulaziv chay shlamin visiyah. And I brought it as a shlamin. So you see the humility of Hillel, even though he really wasn't doing that. He was bringing a male animal as an ola, as an ola sri'iyah. But he said, I'm bringing a female animal as a shlamin in order that they shouldn't be upset, that he's going against them. So I saw that the Sefer Chassidim says we have a rule, Mishan Nesemes B'nei HaShalom, you can say a lie in order to preserve peace. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu that Sarah said, Va'ani Zakanti, I got old, and really she had said, Va'adoni Zakein, my master is old. But Hashem himself lied to Avram Avinu in order to preserve peace between, in that case, between a husband and a wife. So the Sefer Chassidim says that's only true about the past. Sarah had said, I was old. But really she had said, my master is old. But not about the present. You can't lie about the present. You can't lie about the future. So they ask him to say for Chassidim, for this Gemara. Because in this Gemara, Hillel is lying about the present. He's saying, this animal is female, when really the animal was male. He's saying, this animal is a shlam, when really it's an ola. He's lying about the present for the sake of peace. So they say, and maybe that's what Rashi says, you see from here, the humility of Hillel. May rove on the sanuso shel Hillel from his great humility. For the sake of humility, you could even lie about the present. The great humility to express humility, saying, I'm not arguing. You're right. It's a shlamin. To give in to them out of his great humility. Okay, so what did he do? Kishkish lehem biznava. He shook the tail, so they couldn't really see if it's male or female. And then they left, they stopped the fight, they calmed down. So then, and on that day, everybody started to think, and you know, the school of Shammai, that seems to be the way to go. I mean, even Hillel himself is following them, so maybe we should set halacha forever. You can't bring olas for you on Yom Tov. They tried to make halacha like themselves. So there was a sage there, one of the students of Shammai. Bava ben Buta Shmo, his name is Bava ben Buta. He knew that halachas like Beis Hillel, that on Yom Tov, you are allowed to bring chagig, you are allowed to lean on chagigas, and you're allowed to bring olos to Iyah. So the shalach, so he sent, now starting chafam and beis, v'hevi kol tzon kedush from Yerushalayim. He brought all the sheep of Kedar in Jerusalem, in other words, all the best sheep, v'amid him ba'azara, and he put them up in the azara, v'amar, and he said, kom yishuos l'ismach, yavim yismach. Anyone who wants to come can lean on it. So he showed everybody that he very demonstratively showed that it's okay to lean on Karbanos on Yom Tov, Allah is like Beis Hillel. And Rosh Hayom Gabriel Beis Hillel. So then, because of that, on that day, the hand of the students of Hillel got stronger. The Kavu Allah Kamosan, they established Allah like them. They said that's the permanent law. There was nobody there who protested. Now, there was this, another event. There was another story with another student. One of the students of Beis Hillel. He comes to Yom Tov with his Ola into the Azara, planning to lean on him. One of the students of Beit Shammai found him. Amalu said to him, Mazu smicha, what is this smicha that you're doing? What's this smicha? You're violating Beit Shammai. You're leaning on an animal on Yom Tov. Amalu, so he said to him, Mazu shtika, what is this? Silence. In other words, like, where's your tact? Where'd you put away your ability to keep quiet? I'm a student of Hillel. I'm not following the students of Shama. Be quiet. Shtako b'nazifa v'halachla. So he silenced him with a certain harshness, and he walked off. Amar Abaya said, Hilkach, therefore, Haitzim Rabbanan Damar Lechavri Milsa, if a Torah scholar and his friend tells him a harsh word, lo lehedule milsa tfei, He shouldn't respond with a harsher word. If he gives me a harsh word, I shouldn't respond with an even harsher word. How do we see this? Damar lechavre. You amale mazu smicha v'kamadle mazu shtika. We saw here, this is what happened here, that his friend had said to him, what is this? Leaning? And he said back to him, what is this? Silence? And he didn't say anything harsher. Same thing. You said to me, what is this? Leaning? He said to him, what is this? Silence? Where's your silence? What's your leaning? Yeah, they basically use the same words. They don't use harsher words at each other. Tani we're told in a braisa. Amru lahem beis Hillel beis Shammai. The students of Hillel said to the students of Shammai. Right, so again, the students of Hillel hold, you're allowed to slaughter olos on Yom Tov. Olos re'iyah. They said to Shammai students, think about Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't do anything for an individual. Yet mutul gavoy, you're allowed to slaughter olos on Shabbos. Welcome to mutul hedjot. So now, when you have a place and a time, when you're allowed to do things for individuals, you're allowed to slaughter for a person's own satisfaction. In addition to mutul gavoy, certainly you're allowed to slaughter for Hashem, karbanos. Amalehem beishamay, beishamay said back to them. Nedarim nedavas yochichu. Well, we should prove this from the fact that you can't say that. You can't say, well, oh, if I can slaughter for an individual, I should certainly be able to slaughter an olas re'iyah. There are other karbanos that you can't slaughter on Yom Tov. Nidvar m'nidavos. Let's say a guy promised that I'm going to bring a karban shlamim, or he promises that I'm going to bring a karban toda. So he promised in cheshva. Comes Pesach. He can't necessarily show up with it. He can't show up because he could have brought it earlier. Shemutul hedjot, right? Here we're talking about on Yom Tov, you're allowed to slaughter things for individuals, and yet Vasul Gavos, certain things for Hashem, you can't slaughter. Amalem Beisil, Beisil said back to him, Alam Darman Davos, it's not comparable. Shein Kavul Lahem Zman, Darman Davos, don't have a set time. Tomer Olas Re'iyah, whereas in Olas Re'iyah, Shekavul Zman, it does have a set time, therefore it has to be brought on Yom Tov. Amalem Beishamai said, no, really, the Shami Chagiga and the Olas Re'iyah are not really set for Yom Tov. It's not because of the Mishnah. Mishlo Chag v'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. If you don't bring your Olas Re'iyah or your Shami Chagiga on the first day of Sukkot, Kuli can do it the rest of Sukkot on Chol HaMoed, the Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, and even on Shmini Atzeres. Amalem Beisil said, no. Afsu Kavul Azman, it does have a set time. It's not because the Mishnah goes on to say, Avar Rega V'lo Chag, Eno Chayiv Bachri Yusuf. The holiday is over and he has never brought his Chagig or his Olas Re'iyah. That's it. He's no longer responsible. He can't do it anymore. Amalem Beishamai, said Beishamai, said Beisil El, how can you tell me that an Olas Re'iyah can be brought on Yom Tov? V'alok V'ar Ne'mar, but the Pasuk says, Lachem. That which is for you. Torah says, V'yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, V'yom HaShvi Mikra Kodesh, Yeh Lachem. It says the word lachem twice in this pasuk. Has to be for you, for your own sake, not an ola which is fully burnt to Hashem that you can't do. You can't be violating Yom Tov for an ola. Beisil said back, no. The pasuk also says v'chagosem also chag laHashem shevasim bashana chukas olam l'doroseichem achodesh hashvi tachogu oson. You will celebrate it 7 days, a holiday for Hashem. So since it says Chag LaHashem, that's to include olos that can be brought called LaHashem. Im kinim so matam alom lachem. Why does it say lachem? Beis Shammai said back to Beis Hillel. It says Beis Hillel lachem v'lo lekutim. You can violate Yom Tov to cook, to slaughter. If you're cooking for Jews, not for non-Jews, lachem v'lo leklavim. You can do it for yourselves, for Jews, but not for the animals. Abba Shol Omer b'lashon acheres. Abba Shol had a different version of the argument between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel had argued, if on Shabbos, where your stovetop is sealed, nevertheless the stovetop of your master is open, you're allowed to bring karbanos on Shabbos. In the place where your stovetop is open, on Yom Tov, you can cook for yourself. Certainly you can cook for your master, you can cook for Yom, for Hashem, karbanos. It also makes sense to say that. It doesn't make sense. You can eat, but your master can't. I mean, you can. Your table is full, but the olos are not full. Your master's table is not full. That's Abba Shaul's version. But Abba Shaul never had Beis Shammai saying back, no, it's not such a good question, because we find with other things, you can bring in a Nedarim and a Davos. You can't bring the Nedarim and a Davos on Yom Tov, even though that's a carbon for Hashem. So you see that certain things for Hashem you can't do, even though you can do things for yourself. What's the argument between Abba Shaul and the Tanakhama? Mar Savra Nedarim and Davos, Kriv Yom Tov. Abba Shaul holds, in fact, Nedarim and Davos would be brought on Yom Tov according to Beis Hillel. So you can't say to them, oh, but Nedarim and Davos aren't brought on Yom Tov, even though you do things for people. Mar Savra, the other opinion holds, ain't Kriv Yom Tov. Nedarim and Davos are not brought on Yom Tov. Amar Rav Huna said, the Divri Omer Nedarim Nedavos and Kriv Yom Tov. According to the view that says Nedarim Nedavos cannot be brought on Yom Tov, Lo Tema, don't say Midoraisa Mechzi Chazu Rabbanan Hu Degazi Behu. Don't say that Midoraisa you would be able to bring Nedarim Nedavos on Yom Tov. But the Rabbanan made a decree, Gzeira Shema Yishet, that if a person had the option of bringing his Nedarim and his Nedavos on Yom Tov, he's just going to delay till then, and then maybe it won't end up being brought. But apparently, no, it's a din d'oraisa. Mido oraisa, you can't bring the Nedarim and Davos on Yom Tov. What's the proof? Anything you could have done before Yom Tov, you can't do on Yom Tov. If you find with the baking of the Shtei Alechem, the baking of the two loaves. Chovas HaYom Ninu, the two loaves are an obligation of Yom Tov. There's no, you can't say here, oh, we can't let him do it on Yom Tov because then he might delay it until Yom Tov. It's supposed to be on Yom Tov. And nevertheless, you don't have the decree of, oh, he might be delaying things. The baking of the Shtei Alechem does not overrule Shabbos, it does not overrule Yom Tov. You see that whatever you could have done before Yom Tov, you have to do before Yom Tov. The Nedarim and Nedavos could be brought before Yom Tov, therefore they have to be brought before Yom Tov. He probably led a question, the Dibiyom and Nedarim and Nedavos ain't creating Yom Tov, according to the view that says that a guy who made promises to bring a Shlamim or whatever other type of a carbon can't bring it on Yom Tov. A Toda. Amar v'shachat, what happens if somebody slaughtered it already? What are we going to do on Yom Tov? My. So Rav said, Zorik is Adam Omnas La'atir Basar Ba'achila. We throw the blood with the intention that through the throwing of the blood we'll be able to eat the meat. So now it's a Yom Tov purpose. Rav Ravuna Amar Zorik is Adam. You throw the blood, even if you're not going to eat the meat, just Omnas La'atir and more Lerv, that you're going to burn the innards tonight after Yom Tov. My B'nai, what would the difference between the two views be? Yikibinai Nitmar Basar, if the meat became Tameh, so it can't be eaten. Or Shiva, or it got lost. The Rav, according to Rav at this point, Lozark, you're not going to throw the blood. Rabbi Ravuna, still you can throw the blood in order to burn the remnants at night. Okay, stop here, and Bezrat Hashem, continue tomorrow on Yom Tov.